The Coram Deo Church community is a missional church rooted in historic biblical Christianity and committed to engaging an ever-changing culture. We hope the message you're about to hear spurs you towards spiritual formation and mission and helps you delight in Christ alone. Thanks for listening.
As we said last week, what we're really doing last week and this week is we're taking a couple weeks to revisit the vision of Coram Deo. What are we about? What are we seeking to be about as we try to live out God's mission here in the city of Omaha? And so if you weren't here last week, I want to ask you and encourage you to listen to the podcast, because this week really builds on last week's sermon. So it's sort of part two, as it were, of what we talked about last week. Now, last week was real simple. What I said was, we looked at Psalm 90, and what I said was that life is short, and so you need to live for what matters. And then we said that what matters really comes down to two things, the glory of God and the mission of God. And so as we seek to live for what matters and be about what God wants us to be about, those are the two things that really are to drive us. And so I ended last week saying, listen, you need to decide that this is what you want to be about, that this is what you want to live for, that you really are going to orient your life toward the glory of God and the mission of God in the world. This week, what I want to do is to explore, how does that vision, how does that sort of big picture goal find expression within the Coram Deo Church community? And so this morning's message is going to be very highly practical. I just want to help you figure out, what is this church about and how do I get connected here? So last week's sermon was more the big picture. No matter where you live, no matter what time in history you live, God has commissioned us and called us to be about making disciples, living for his glory, pursuing his mission. This week's sermon is more specific. How does that work in the Coram Deo Church community in the context of urban Omaha, Nebraska, in the time and cultural moment in which we live? And so that's what I'm going to tackle this morning. And really, we're going to only look at one verse this morning. I want to keep it very simple and very basic. And we're going to look primarily at one verse of Scripture that has been paradigm shaping for our understanding of what is the church and how are we to function as God's people in the world. And so before I take you to that verse, I want to start by laying out something you're going to see in that verse and a principle that's really foundational to everything else that we understand about what it means to be a church. And the principle is this: the church is a people, not a place. That's a foundational theological conviction that really drives everything we do and all that we think about here at Coram Deo. The church is a people and not a place. Now, this should be intuitively obvious to you, but the way we talk about church and as Americans, we oftentimes are referring to a building or an institution or an organization. But biblically, the church is a people, not a place. And this is part of the reason why the name of our church is Coram Deo Church Community, not Coram Deo Community Church. Okay, because when you think of, when Americans think of community church, oftentimes we think of, oh, that's that building down the street. We want to reinforce the idea, no, we are a church community. What's at the heart of being the church is the idea that it's made up of a people, the people that God has called to himself in Christ. Now, here's why this matters. Because everything we talked about last week, the glory of God, the mission of God, making disciples of Jesus, all of that happens in the context of community. Community relationships are the context for discipleship. None of that can take place apart from you being connected to a network of relationships and being immersed in a community of people. And I have to say this, and I have to belabor this anytime we talk about church, because American culture is very individualistic, right? We sort of have this myth in our culture of the self-made person, the man against all odds who will pull himself up by his own bootstraps and make a name for himself in the world. We're defined by legendary heroes who overcome the Wild West, right, and establish civilization. And so part of our consciousness is sort of this rampant individualism that's prevalent in how we think. The problem is, when you approach discipleship to Jesus in that sort of individualistic way, here's what you end up with. What you end up with is the idea that the church is kind of a buffet, and I, as an individual disciple of Jesus, am going to pick out the things on that buffet that really help me become a better person or help me live out the mission God's given me. And so really what the church becomes is a dispenser of religious goods and services for individual Christian consumers. And so most of us even have learned to approach church this way. We go to church based on, you know, what will it do for me, or how will it help me in my family, or in what I want to get out of life. That's not how the mission of God is meant to work. The church is a disciple-making community. It is a people, not a place. And so all that happens within the kingdom of God and all that God has called us to takes place in the context, in the matrix of a community of people. And so I want to start just by reminding you that church is a people, not a place. And so as we talk about what is the church and what is this church, that's the foundational conviction that drives everything. Now, what I want to do this morning is I want to help you understand the vision God has given to Coram Deo by using a phrase that we have used for years to sort of describe or help cast vision for who are we. And the phrase is central on our website because it's a central theme of how we talk about Coram Deo, that is a gospel-centered, missional church community. Okay, that's how we talk about who we are. And so what I want to do this morning is my message is going to have 3 points. What does it mean to be gospel-centered? What does it mean to be missional? What does it mean to be a church community? All right, we're going to keep it simple and basic because those three things really define the DNA of who we are and what we are about. So let me talk first about what does it mean to be gospel-centered? What do we mean at Coram Deo when we use that phrase? At Thanksgiving, last Thanksgiving, we went out, my family and I, out to my uncle's house in Central City, Nebraska. He's a farmer out there, and my kids, on any kind of holiday like that, like to go to the farm, like to ride the horses and chase the chickens and do all that farm stuff. And so when we get a holiday like that, we oftentimes go out there. So we were out there at Thanksgiving. After Thanksgiving dinner, we were kind of sitting around. The phone rang. It was one of the neighbors calling to say, your cows are out, all right? Which my uncle, in the off-season of farming, of course, runs livestock, and so usually puts up a fence around a field and has cows grazing there. And so we jumped in the pickup truck and drove a couple miles down the road to corral these cows that had wandered out. There'd been a malfunction in the fence, and you know they were off in somebody else's field. And so we spent an hour of our Thanksgiving chasing them, getting them back into the right spot and repairing the fence that had been broken. In America, that's how we do farming and ranching, is we put up fences, and that defines the boundaries of the land that we want to keep the livestock within. What's interesting is that a couple years ago, in some reading I was doing, I learned that there's also a very different way to do ranching and farming and livestock, especially in the continent of Australia. Australia is a very dry place, and so there are not multiple sources of water. And so what the ranchers do in Australia, they practice free-range ranching, and what they do is they just dig a well, and they create a water source for their livestock. And then they let their livestock roam wherever they want because they know because there's no other sources of water, the livestock are not going to stray beyond a certain radius from that watering hole. And so really what they do to define the boundaries of their ranch is the water hole's in the middle and the livestock are in a certain radius around that, and they just know they're not going to stray beyond that because animals instinctively are going to remain near to the water source. That's a good metaphor for what we mean at Coram Deo when we say that we are a gospel-centered church. The gospel, the good news of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection is like that well. Okay, that's the center around which our communal life as a church orbits and revolves. And so we just want to keep pointing you back to and calling you back to that center and put the focus on that well, as it were, of refreshing truth, the reality of who Jesus is and what he did. See, what a lot of churches do in order to define their existence is they put up fences. And if you've been to churches, you know how this works, right? The fences sort of define who's in and who's out, right? So at some churches, it's you dress a certain way that marks you as like you belong here. Or for some churches, it's the theological or doctrinal background that you have or the denomination that you are a part of. That's what marks you as within the boundaries of this church community. And so it's very common. And in fact, It's a part of how our sinful heart works, that we want to define what the fences are so that we can put ourselves in and put other people out. But at Coram Deo, our goal is to avoid that as much as possible and instead to just say, man, what defines our church is the gospel. Jesus Christ and his work is at the center. And so all who want to, as it were, revolve around that water source, whether you're a Christian and that's your life, or whether you're a non-Christian and you're looking for that, and as Dusty put it, asking gospel questions, that's what this church community is about. We have put the gospel at the center, and so we're always coming back to who Jesus is and what God has done for us in Christ. If you have a Bible, I want to take you to this one verse that we're going to use over and over again this morning. It's in the book of 1 Peter, which is toward the end of your New Testament. 1 Peter chapter 2. So I'd like you to turn there, and we're really going to camp out in just one verse of 1 Peter 2. I'm going to show you all three of these dynamics, the gospel-centered missional church community, in this one verse. 1 Peter 2, 9 reads like this. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So notice, this verse starts by describing, using some language to say who you are. He's writing to the church here. This is who you are. Chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession. That's your identity. That's what defines you. So that, now here's your mission or calling, so that you may proclaim, you may make known the excellencies of him who, what? Called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Okay, that's the gospel. You see that? What we're declaring and proclaiming is the reality, the fact that God has called us out of darkness and into his marvelous light, that God has worked to awaken our hearts to him. He has caused us to be born again. He has caused us to come into his kingdom, that something has happened. God has acted on our behalf. He has awakened us to the good of the gospel. And this then is what defines us. This is what we are excited about and proclaiming and declaring, is that God is excellent because, and we know that because he's called us out of darkness and into light. Okay, that's the gospel. So you see, Peter is describing the church, God's people, as a people who have been called from darkness to light. That's what defines our identity. That's the truth that has happened to us and that we believe and that we want to see happen to other people. And so Coram Deo is first and foremost a gospel-centered church. We're always coming back to what has God done to call us out of darkness into light? How has he accomplished that in and through the work of Jesus Christ? So Coram Deo, first of all, is gospel-centered. Secondly, we say that we are a missional church. What does that mean? Well, the word missional is just an adjectival form of the word missionary. All right, so when we say we are missional, what we're saying is the church is a missionary people. We are God's sent ones, God's ambassadors. He has, as we talked about last week, he has commissioned us. He's given us a calling, a mission to be on. And so a missional church is a going church. We see our identity as sent by God. So we're not asking people primarily to come to us. We're primarily taking the initiative to go to them. We see our existence as a sent people going into the culture around us as missionaries to make God known. All right, think of a missionary as you traditionally understand that term. A missionary is someone who goes to a foreign culture, right? And as they do that, they have to do a number of things. They have to learn a new language. They have to understand the customs and the trademarks and the history of that culture. They, as it were, spend sometimes years becoming an insider, understanding how that culture works and speaks and lives, so that they can effectively proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ in that culture. When we say that we are a missional church and a missional people, what we're saying is that's exactly how we approach the city of Omaha, the United States of America. We are thinking, our mindset is as missionaries, so we want to know, how do we understand this culture that we are in? See, the mistake we make is we assume that because we live here, we understand the culture. Because we were raised in this culture, we assume it's transparent to us. And so we oftentimes are not as observant of our own culture as we would be of other cultures. So being missionaries means we want to understand the language. We want to understand the stories that have shaped people. We want to understand the cultural narrative that lies behind the assumptions people make about God and about truth and about the world. We want to be students of those things so that we can enter in and proclaim and declare the gospel effectively in that context. And so we simply take a missionary approach to our own culture. One thing you'll notice about Coram Deo, and in fact it's frustrating to some people who have a different expectation, is that we're not doing a bunch of programs or events to try to draw people into this church. Okay, we're not primarily about getting people to come to church. We're primarily about training Christians to be the church, where you already live, in your neighborhood, in your workplace, in the city that you call home. We want to train you to be the church, to be a missionary people. And so there's a phrase we use to describe what this mission looks like as it's lived out, and I think it's really helpful. It's just this: doing ordinary things with gospel intentionality. That's what we mean when we talk about being missional or living as a missionary people. It means doing ordinary things, doing the normal things that people in our culture do, but doing them with a whole different motivation, with a sense of gospel intentionality. That I am here as a missionary, as one who represents the truth of God and the good of God and the glory of God. So how do I do what I do with a sense of gospel intentionality? I'll give you an example of what this looks like for me and for my family, all right? I have two boys. Parker's 11. Lewis is 7. Like many people with young boys, we play youth baseball in the spring and summer, all right? Lots of people in our culture play youth baseball, all right? It's a normal part of cultural activity. And so just like anyone else, with our kids, man, we want them playing baseball. They love it. And so we play baseball every year in a youth baseball league. But we approach that with gospel intentionality. All right, so what I'm doing with my boys is I'm helping them realize, hey, you're a missionary to your baseball team. So you're responsible to live for the glory of God and to use opportunities that you have to influence those kids. All right, I'm getting to know the coaches and the fathers and looking for opportunities and praying for them and just seeing, how can I love them? How can I come alongside them? Is there any opportunity that God's providing for me to speak the gospel? My wife's getting to know the other families and the other moms and creating dialogue and just, we're honestly just prayerfully asking, God, where are you at work here? How can we join you in the work that you're doing in any of these families or these people? So we're doing the same thing everybody else is doing, playing youth baseball, but we're doing it with a sense of gospel intentionality. We're here on mission. That doesn't mean we're handing out tracts in the stands, all right? It just means we're praying. We have our eyes open to how is God at work in these kids, in these families? What opportunities is God putting before us to speak the gospel? Trying to live an authentic life with a sense of gospel intentionality. Okay, look back at 1 Peter 2:9 again. And notice what it says, right? You are these things, a chosen race, royal priesthood, holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. All right, so the whole reason you exist is so that you might proclaim, you might declare, you might show forth how excellent God is. That's the reason for your existence. So this just takes us back to the Great Commission that we looked at last week. And look, this is why you're on the earth. To make disciples, to glorify God, to speak of the excellency and the beauty of who God is and what he's done. Hey, our existence as God's people is a missional existence. We are sent with a particular message and focus. And what I want you to see right after this in 1 Peter 2, notice what Peter says. Beloved, I urge you, verse 11, as sojourners and exiles in the world, to abstain from sinful desires which wage war against your soul. Now catch verse 12. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. Do you notice the assumption that Peter is making? The assumption is you're actually living life among the pagans. Okay? Meaning, your life intersects with people who don't know God. Okay, you're not living in an isolated Christian bubble where the music you listen to and the sports leagues that you're in and the books you read are all defined by a Christian subculture. Okay, that you're living a life that is among the pagans. It's out there for people to see. It's a public kind of life, but it's a different kind of life. In fact, it's different in a way that you might get ridiculed and criticized. They might speak evil against you. But either way, they have access to your life. They see what it is to live out a gospel missional kind of existence. So Peter's assumption is, look, you better be living the kind of life that pagans, though they might revile you and speak evil against you, would give them cause, once they finally understand everything, to glorify God. So Cormdale is a gospel-centered church, a missional church, and finally we use this phrase, a church community, all right? Which brings us back to where we started, that the church is a people, not a place. Look again at 1 Peter 2:9 and just notice the terms that are used here, okay? This is crucial to your understanding of what does it mean to be a Christian. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession. Do you notice all those terms? They're all communal terms, right? You as an individual are not a nation, right? But it says, you're a holy nation. You're a chosen race. You're a people. These terms are communal terms. They imply that there's more than one of you, all right? In fact, what Peter's doing is he's just ripping off Exodus chapter 19, the very words that God used to describe the people of Israel on Mount Sinai when he called them to himself in covenant with Moses. Peter's just applying those terms to you as the church, saying, yeah, that's who you are. You are God's chosen people. You are a people belonging to God. Your whole identity is communal in nature. The Bible does not see you as an individual and secondarily, you as part of a community. The Bible sees you as part of a community primarily, which implies that you're an individual part of that community. That's why the metaphor for the body, for the church is the body of Christ, right? So like if I hear that you're having trouble with your heart, I'm not really that concerned about your heart, right? I'm concerned about you because it's bad news for you that your heart isn't working so well, right? You with me? I'm not concerned about your particular elbow or your knee joint. I'm concerned about you. And so that's why the Bible uses the metaphor of body, because each of us derives our identity primarily as the bigger whole that we're a part of. Now, here's why this matters. Because again, you need to see community as primary and central to what it means to be a part of God's people. A lot of churches see community as optional. So it sort of goes like this. Come to church on Sunday, and then if you have time and space and availability and motivation, then also join a community group or a Bible study or be part of something else. But primarily just be here on Sunday. Okay? Well, at Cormdale, we don't buy into that logic. What we want to say is no. Community, you being a part of community is primary and essential. A community is not optional. It's not something you add in if you have time. It's the very context in which you're going to become a disciple and in which you're going to live out the mission of Jesus in the world. That's going to happen in community. Okay, I hinted at this last week, but let me come back to it. Let me give you an example. In Galatians chapter 5, we're told of the fruit of the Spirit, right? The things that the Holy Spirit produces in your character, the virtues that are to be a part of you if you're being transformed by the Spirit of God. And it says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Here's the question. How would you know if you have any of those virtues? The only way to tell is by putting you in a community of people that force you to be impatient, unkind, unloving, critical, right? That's how you tell those virtues are actually there. I'm sure that each one of you in your living room by yourself is wonderfully patient, kind, forgiving, and gentle, all right? But when you mix it up in community, then you really find out, are these virtues there or not? Right? That's where the measuring stick of, is there gospel virtue in your life? It plays out in community. And so again, you've got to recover from what American individualism has done to you and recognize what it means to be a part of God's people is to be in community with others where I am being formed and I am participating in the formation of others and in the making disciples process. One of the big problems in the church is that we've gotten away without this for a long time. All right, so I have a friend who was raised in a very church-going family. Her dad was, you know, one of the pillars of the church community, you know, really faithful, God-loving, publicly religious man, only he had an anger problem, right? And so at home, he was bitter, sharp, vindictive, angry, sort of kept everyone under his thumb, would fly off the handle, but sort of you just didn't talk about that at church. And so he had this sort of persona at church that he's a very fine, upstanding religious man. While in the home, his whole family is just sort of tiptoeing around his anger and his temper. And see, what happened there is no one ever knew him in the sense of those two worlds coming together and someone being able to say, hey, I don't think the way you treat your family is displaying the virtue of the gospel. They just sort of... That church community just sort of took his word for it, right? And what I want you to hear is, at Coram Deo, we're just not going to take your word for it, okay? We're not willing to do that. And listen to me, if you would spend any time with Dusty and Justin and I in counseling during the week, you'd realize how common that story is. How many people have a story of a publicly religious family where there was just rampant sin under the surface that nobody was willing to talk about? And so look, we don't want that to be our story. We don't want that to be your story. If those things are there and present in your character, we want them to be coming out eventually so that someone's stepping in and saying, hey, I think you have an anger problem. We might need to talk about that. We want you to have to exist in community so that the truth of who you are in your character is revealed and the beauty of character formation can happen. That's why we describe ourselves as a church community and why we're resolute about you being a part of some community where you're known, where people actually know your story, where they actually know what shaped you and they're interacting with you on some regular basis and they're just immersed in your life alongside you. So, Coram Deo is a gospel-centered, missional church community. That applies on a macro level and on a micro level. So what we always say is, as a whole, that's what we want to be. We want to be a gospel-centered, missional church community. So on a whole, right, we're preaching the gospel and worshiping in light of the gospel every Sunday when we're here. We're trying to live on mission in our city through partners like In Common and through doing big things like, man, let's raise a bunch of money and try to bless them, okay? Sort of public, corporate things that we are able to do together. But in addition to that, we want gospel-centered missional community happening all over the city. And so that's why our church is broken up into and sort of constituted by a couple dozen missional communities that meet all throughout the city in people's living rooms and places like that. Because what we want to be able to say is, hey, on a macro level, we're about gospel and mission and community. And on a micro level, you are experiencing the gospel in a community of people where you're on mission alongside those people. And living for the glory of God and praying for the people that you interact with and helping each other figure out how do I live as a missionary in this context at work or at school or wherever it might be. Okay, so our vision is that we would be a gospel-centered missional church community as a large church and as a bunch of missional communities that make up that large church. Now, listen, our vision, our longing is every one of you who's a Christian, leading a missional community that's made up of your friends, your peers, your family members, people that you've influenced. I really think that's possible. If you started looking at your life through the lens of, I'm a missionary, God's put me where he's put me, in the zip code that I live in the job that I have, in the community of friends that I have, so that I can live for his glory. I really think it's possible that every one of you could be shaping missional community so that the gospel, mission, and community would be happening in your natural sphere of life. That's exactly what we want. That's our vision for how we want this church to grow and multiply, and how we want to plant churches, is by that taking shape. So we exist to multiply gospel communities on mission and to multiply gospel-centered missional church communities. And that's why we're committed to church planting. That's why we're asking you to be part of missional community, and why we're always trying to replicate and multiply and raise up leaders so that that can happen in greater and greater measure throughout our city. Okay, so let me end with this. Let me end with three pastoral pleas, as it were. Okay, what I've tried to do is just describe for you, okay, here's who we are as a church. Okay, here's the big picture of what Coramdale is about. Now, there's a lot of fine details that fall underneath that, but there's the big umbrella of what defines us: gospel-centered missional church community. Now, let me end with sort of three pastoral pleas. Just there's three things I want to ask of you. And again, I'm assuming that you're here this morning because in some way you want to be a part of this church. Now, some of you guys may need some time to figure that out. Maybe you just showed up here this morning and you're like, I don't buy all this yet, all right? And that's fine. But I want to be honest with you about how do you get connected? What would I, as a pastor, be urging you toward if this is your church community? Well, the first plea would just be this: embrace the gospel. Embrace the gospel. All right, listen, if you're not a Christian here this morning, that's what we are going to consistently and continually be calling you back to. And as Dusty mentioned up front, man, we love the fact that our church is made up of all kinds of people that don't yet buy into the gospel, right? We're jazzed about that. We love that because we like those conversations. They're sharpening for us. But we're going to continually be calling you, hey, embrace the gospel. Follow Jesus. Become a disciple. Dive in with both feet to this thing, this reality called the kingdom of God, and this truth that your sins are forgiven in Christ. And so we want you to embrace the gospel. But here's the thing. Not just if you're not a Christian, but if you are a Christian too. Because if you read your Bible, what you'll notice is Jesus did not just preach the gospel to pagans, he also preached the gospel to Pharisees. And what we find is there's a lot of Pharisees in Omaha, Nebraska, right? There's a lot of religious, legalistic, moralistic people that know how to set good boundaries for their life so that they come off as really externally moral and religious. But the transforming reality of being awed by what Jesus did for them, it isn't present. And so listen, even if you're coming out of a religious background, a Christian background, our call to you is, listen, embrace the gospel. Realize this is not about moralism. It's not about religion. It's not about subscribing to some external form of religion. It's about your life actually being transformed by the good news of who Jesus is and what he did. And so embrace the gospel. And listen, at Coramdale, we're just always leveraging resources to that end, okay? So last fall, we went through the gospel-centered life as a church to try to help that. We have a bunch of the resources at the resource table are just about gospel. They're just foundational gospel resources because, listen, here's what we found. When I say the word gospel, you hear something different than what I mean. I say gospel, and a lot of people assume whatever Billy Graham would say on TV, okay? That's certainly part of the gospel. But what we mean by gospel at Coramdale is so much deeper and so much fuller than just a summary of its essential doctrines. And so listen to me, embrace the gospel and have the humility to recognize if you're coming from someplace where you're like, hey, you guys talk about this gospel thing a lot of that. I'm not sure I'm hearing what you're saying there. Okay, say that so we can put some resources in your hand or even you can go back and listen to some of the podcasts from last fall and just hear us unpack. Here's what we are talking about. We talk about how the gospel changes Christians, not just non-Christians. Okay, Jesus spoke of the gospel not as an entry point into the Christian life, but as the path that we walk in the Christian life. And until you get that and see that and begin living in light of that, you're missing most of what the gospel is. So embrace the gospel. Here's the second plea. Get on mission. Get on mission. Okay, this is why we preached the sermon that we did last week. My longing, my desire is that you would live for something that Jesus meant for you to live for, which is his mission, his glory. So get on mission. Begin to ask the question, do I see life as a missionary? If not, how do I need to be shaped in that? And then how do I start living life with gospel intentionality and with some people around me? How do I begin forming a community that's doing that together? Really what I'm saying is, listen, our longing is that you would be a contributor, not a consumer. Okay? We want to really come against and break down that consumerism that's so rampant in American Christianity. And so we want you to be a contributor, not a consumer. So listen, I say this all the time, and I really mean it. If you can't do that here at this church, then do it at some church. Right? There's plenty of good churches in Omaha. We want you to be a contributor somewhere. We want you to be bought into the mission of God somewhere. It doesn't have to be here. If this is the place where God's called you, then please jump in here. But if it's not, then jump in somewhere. Just be a contributor, not a consumer. All right? And here's the final plea I would make. Embrace the gospel, get on mission, create community. Create community. I want you to notice the verb that I am using. I did not say join community, even though that's part of it. I said create community, okay? Because we have a tendency to be very passive. And so we just want to know, if I show up at somebody's house, am I in community? Kind of. But see, a community requires you to be involved in creating it and shaping it and forming it. It means you're an active participant, not a passive observer. And so my plea is, would you see it as your calling, as your job, to create community? To be a part of shaping a community that's about the gospel of Jesus Christ, that's living on mission and helping each other be faithful, effective missionaries? And it's tightening the bonds of community such that Christians get connected and non-Christians get connected, and there's just a healthy sense of, man, we're about this together. Create community. I mentioned that we have a couple dozen missional communities that meet all throughout the city, and we're always looking to multiply missional communities. We want them to be all over the place in every neighborhood. Our vision is literally that there would be a missional community in walking distance of wherever you live in the city of Omaha. That there's a community of Christians gathering to worship Jesus, to pray, to study the Bible, to help each other grow in the gospel, like seriously, within walking distance of wherever you are. That's our vision. So I want you to create community. Now listen, if you're wondering how to connect to a missional community, perhaps that's the first step for you is just, okay, let me take the next step of diving into community. Okay, here's what I'll tell you. All of our missional communities are good and bad. Right? If you're looking for that perfect small group, it doesn't exist in any church anywhere, and that's why they all stink. All right, and that's why you could possibly criticize every Christian small group you've ever been a part of, because they're all kind of lame. All right, we're just trying to be less lame than we could be. All right, we're not trying to be awesome. We're just trying to be, hey, let's try to be as authentic as we can be, and about as awkward as a good family Christmas with your family. All right, and you know, that's about probably what we can hope for. Okay, so don't have these idealistic expectations of, I'm going to join a missional community. It's going to be all these people that are fired up on mission, loving Jesus. Well, hopefully, that's what we want it to be, and we're moving in that direction together, all right? So we need you to help shape that. Now, the first step is to join an existing missional community, and then the next step is to continue to multiply missional communities out of that. So I want to be real clear that if you want to get connected to a missional community, the way that you do that is to use this info card, and you'll notice it talks on here about the city, which is sort of it's like an online little gathering point that we have. And on there, if you'll just log on, we can help you get connected to a missional community. All right, want to do it by where you live in the city or by who are the people you already know. We'll use any criteria you have. We just want to help you get connected. All right, so that's how you can do that. You can use that info card to let us know any ways we can help you with that. But that's my plea to you, is that you'd embrace the gospel, that you'd get on mission, and that you'd create community. And if we will do that together, then the vision that God has given us for this church and what the impact we want to have in the city will continue to go forward. If we won't do that, then in large part, we'll be very ineffective in the mission God's given us. Okay, because our vision is to be an agent of change and transformation and renewal in the city, not just to be a bunch of people that get together for church on Sunday mornings, right? We want to be about the glory of God and the mission of God in the city in the context where he's put us. Let me pray that God will shape those things into us and we'll continue to worship together. God, we know because your word is true, we know that In Acts 17, you tell us that you determine the boundaries of our habitation and the exact places where people would live. And so we're confident this morning, God, that the people who are in this room are here because you've drawn them here. It's not an accident that they're present this morning. You're sovereign in that process. God, we're confident that you've put us in this city at this time for a reason. And so we want to engage all of that with a sense of intentionality, asking the question, what does it mean for us to be your people right now? And so, Father, my longing this morning is that you would form communities that revolve around the gospel and that live out the mission of God. And we want to be that as this church. We want to see other churches experience renewal so that they're about that. We want each person in this room to be about that. And so, God, for those here who are not yet Christians, I pray that you would awaken them to the beauty and the glory of who you are and draw them to Jesus Christ. For those who are Christians, I pray you would help them to embrace the ongoing centrality of the gospel in their lives for the sake of their transformation. That you'd help them to embrace and get on mission with you, that they'd see their life as not existing for themselves, but for you who died and was raised again on their behalf. And that all of us would create community, that we'd see it as our job to contribute to forming communities that testify to the beauty and the good of who you are. So God, would you accomplish that? We know that we can talk about these things and we can embrace the vision that you've given, but you have to do the work in our hearts to make us willing, to make us obedient, to give us grace as we do it. So would you do that so that you might be greatly glorified and so that your cause and your purposes in our city might be fulfilled in our lifetimes, so that we might be able to stand before you and with a clear conscience say, man, we lived for the things you put us here to live for. Would you do that for your glory and your name? Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed this message. For more information about Coram Deo, visit our website at cdomaha.com.